I want to give you a word of welcome to our evening service and this final farewell service for the Reverend Higginson, and a word of welcome to those who may be joining by sermon audio or Facebook. We're thankful that you've decided to tune in, and we trust that the Lord will bless you as the Lord blesses us here in God's house. We're going to commence our service tonight by singing to the praise of God the hymn number 349. And you have it up there on the screen. I lay my sins on Jesus, the spotless Lamb of God. He bears them all and frees us from the accursed load. We'll remain seated and we'll sing unto the Lord this wonderful hymn of praise. Pray for God to come and to breathe afresh upon us. Let's all pray. Our Father in heaven, we do give thee thanks tonight that we have this fresh opportunity to gather in thy divine presence. We're thankful for the words that we know so well. I joyed when to the house of God go up, they said to me. We're thankful for the promise that was given to us in the Word, that where two or three are gathered together in the Lord's name, there am I in their midst. And that's what we desire tonight in this final farewell service for thy dear servant. We desire the presence and the power of God to be evident, to be manifest as we meet again around the open Word of God. We're thankful for our brother. We're thankful for the ministry that he has carried on these many years. And we thank thee for hearts that have been touched, lives that have been changed, and the many blessings that have been bestowed upon the various members and family's connected with the church through his ministry. And he's greatly loved, and we pray that God will bless him tonight again as the Lord helped him this morning as he comes to bring the word of God, when he realizes that it is the very final message. That will be a daunting task for him. And so we pray for him especially, that thou will give to him a clear mind, that enabling from on high, may he say the right thing, the thing the Lord would have him to say to us. And in so doing, may it be blessed of God. We pray for his wife and family. We thank thee for them as well, and the good things we heard about them in the morning service. And we commend them unto thy gracious care as they move away. May the Lord make every crooked way straight for them. And the Lord has been leading thus far, we believe. And it's encouraging to see all of these things working together for good. When God is in the thing, then it will. And so we pray for those who gather here tonight. There may be some sitting here who have sat under his ministry in the past. They have been moved, and they're still unconverted. We pray that even tonight, that they will hear that irresistible call of the Spirit of grace. And through his ministry, may they be brought savingly to the foot of the cross and crown his ministry tonight with souls coming to Christ. We prayed this morning that the Lord would show or manifest his glory. And that's what we're still praying tonight as it comes to the final message here. May the Lord crown the night with great success spiritually. And may there be the cry of a newborn soul calling to thee for mercy and for grace. Abide with us now. Bless those who will make the various presentations. Some of them may not be used to speak. We pray that thou will just give them that grace that they need. And may this be a good night, a memorable night. May the tide rise. May the devil be defeated. And may the precious blood of the Lamb prevail. And may the Holy Spirit fall afresh upon us and shut us in with thyself and do us good. And may we see Jesus. May we see the Lord tonight. May we sense his presence. And when we leave the building, may we go away rejoicing. Not sad. May we go away rejoicing in the knowledge that God is calling his servant to some other work to carry on a great work for God there. Abide with us now and do us good. We pray these things in the Savior's name. Amen. I just want to read one or two verses. It's not a long Bible reading, but if we would turn to 2 Kings chapter 2, and I want to read the last few verses beginning at verse 8. So the 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 8. Just five short verses. And when you find a place, we will take a moment or two to read this very familiar portion of God's word, beginning at the 8th verse. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. What a marvelous exit that was. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And they saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and rent them into pieces. And may God bless his word to all of our hearts for Christ's sake. Amen. The story before us is of two servants of God, two different men. Elijah, who was now at the end of his public ministry, the Lord was going to take him home to heaven. He had been a faithful man. He had taken a brave and courageous stand. The Lord had blessed him. He had prayed down fire from on high. He had prayed and God had withholding the rain. And we know that story only too well. But now he's about to exit the world. He's about to leave the people that he has served so faithfully. And then there's another man, and he's just about ready to commence his ministry. Now, Elisha had been the servant of Elijah for some period of time now. But now that Elijah was moving on, now that he was going home to heaven, he is now ready to take over that responsibility and step into the role of being a prophet in the land of Israel. So the point is this. Our brother is ready to exit. He's ready to move on. And what a spectacular exit it was here. And I'm thinking, our brother, as I mentioned this morning, he's having two farewells, so there's a very special exit as well. Normally, a preacher has one farewell. He's getting two. But the point is this. When the Lord took Elijah away, Elisha was waiting there in the wings, ready to step onto the stage and to take over the role as prophet in Israel. And God is taking God's servant away from this congregation. But be comforted, child of God. Be comforted, congregation. The Lord has his man. And there's no doubt about it, Elisha was God's man. God has his man for this congregation. It's just a matter of time until that person will be revealed to the congregation. And I would ask you to be much in prayer, to give wisdom unto the oversight of the congregation, to give wisdom unto myself, and to be much in prayer, and pray much that God will be pleased in his own good time. In God's own good time, he will bring from the wings the man of his choosing, and then he will step out onto the platform to lead the congregation here in the will of God. This is just a little word to encourage you. We're sad that our brother's going, but we're thankful that he's going at the call of God. And we're thankful that the Lord has a man for this congregation. And let's pray to that end that the Lord will do for us and for Coleraine what he did for the people of Israel long ago. One is ready to go. Another is ready to step out of the wings onto the stage to become the next pastor of the congregation here in Coleraine. So that's something to keep before you in the days that lie ahead. I was just getting liberty there, but I realize I'm not here to preach. I'm just here to lead the service. And our brother, Mr. McLean, will now come, the clerk of session, to pay tribute to Mr. Higginson. He did so very well this morning. And then various people will be coming along to make the various presentations to him and his family. And then Mr. McLean will make the announcements. He didn't listen this morning, or Mr. Higginson didn't listen this morning what I had said, you see. There was confusion. And so when you listen to the man of God, there'll be no confusion. And our brother McLean then will make the announcements for this upcoming week. Thank you, Stephen.
Just like to thank the Reverend Irwin for leading the meeting tonight and for his presence with us here today. I had to go through, I suppose, what I would call a difficult experience this morning. It certainly was from the heart, and I don't think it's possible maybe to do it justice again just by reading the same thing and going through the same thing over again tonight. So there's a number of people tonight who are going to take part, and I want to give them their time as well to be able to come and to speak. But of course, I want to just again this evening pay tribute to our pastor, the Reverend Roger Higginson, and to again thank him on behalf of the session committee and congregation for his ministry since 2008 within our congregation here. Today has been an emotional day, and there's been tears shed, and it's been a sad occasion. And it made me think back to one of the first barbecues that we had, you might think, how is there ever a connection there? But I remember when the Reverend Higginson first came, we had a barbecue as a church. I think it was down in Flowerfield. And it just poured. It just bucketed out of the heavens, as we would say. And I remember those who were trying to get the barbecue done, moved it in under the trees to try and get a bit of shade and a bit of shelter. And I was there. I remember standing holding an umbrella, I think it was. And our brother, Reverend Higginson, was standing beside me. And the smoke was coming up. And my eyes were just streaming with the tears were just pouring out of them. And I just remember him, compassionate as he was, he just said, "Stephen, don't beat yourself up." And there he was bringing those words of comfort. And it has been a day of reflection. And it's been a time, as I said this morning, as we thought of the Reverend Higginson and his example to us as a people, as a believer, how he has demonstrated that spirit that is so evident within his own life, the working of God that is there. And we thought as well about him as our pastor. And I again want to thank him for all that he's done, for the attention that he has shown to us as a people, and for all that he means to each and every one of us here within the congregation. And finally, we thought this morning of him as a friend, one that is alongside and showing the gratitude and showing the love that we need and compassion that we often need at different times. And you know, it was mentioned today just about Mrs. Higginson as well, Elaine, and the testimony that she has. And it was mentioned also about the children. And I want to just maybe just pause for a moment and just to speak to Sarah and to Luke and to Joshua. And Sarah was very small when she came to Coleraine, and the two boys have joined us here. And I know John's going to speak to them on behalf of the Sunday school. But, you know, they have contributed to the work of God here. And Luke is my man for jokes. He keeps me updated. People know I've got a very poor sense of humour at the best of times. So Luke has been great keeping me topped up with jokes and so on. And I know that all three of you, Joshua and Sarah and Luke, have helped out with the video work. And that was a fantastic thing. Over the period of lockdown, all those 125 videos, it wasn't Mr. Higginson who videoed them. It was the children that were involved. And that was a work that you have done for the Lord. Now, I was in two minds whether to show this tonight, and I'm going to probably get into a lot of trouble for doing this. But I have to say, I have felt sorry for you, because I've had to film a few of them myself, and they don't always go to plan. And I remember whenever Mr. Higginson and I were videoing things in the church, he would get to the end after he had maybe preached on the Sunday night. He would then go on and do a book review, and he maybe would do a Tuesday evening one. And we would get to the end of it and realize that he'd forgotten to turn his microphone on. And there was nothing there, and we had to start again from scratch. So it showed to me that not everything goes well all the time. And it showed me that maybe things didn't always work out, Sarah, whenever you were doing the filming. And I believe that one of the devotionals took 15 goes before you got it right. Now, Mr. Higginson sent me some videos, and I think he never intended them to see the light of day. But it sort of showed me that not everything goes according to plan. This is one of the first ones. This did go to plan, but you'll see what happened in some of the other ones.
Hello, everyone.
You know, a few years ago, 5 years ago, I remember listening to a broadcast on BBC Radio Ulster where a farmer from the Republic of Ireland had... You know, a few years ago, about 5 years ago, I remember listening to a broadcast on BBC Radio Ulster, and they interviewed a farmer from the Republic of Ireland, and he had successfully... Start again. They have tried to make the two look the same. They have tried to... We'll just give it Tozer here. Sorry. Ah, so Tozer. Fuck. Tozer. Come here. Hi. Fuck. Tozer. He had managed to successfully breed. And then you can tune in again into Zoom anytime before before 9 o'clock, isn't it? He said, no man is greater than his prayer life. John Wesley said, God does nothing but an answer to prayer. Do perhaps socially, apart from maybe go to the shops or get out.
That one was a wee bit better, was it? I think that's what was said at the end there. Just a wee bit of a look at some of the things that go on in the background, and I think it just highlights too is the amount of work and effort that goes in to putting together these different broadcasts. I'm going to stop at this point. We have a number of people tonight who are going to make presentations, and I'm just going to read down the list of those initial presentations. Mr. Tommy McCool is going to come first of all, and he's going to make a presentation on behalf of the congregation. Then Sandra Gibson on behalf of the Women's Missionary Prayer Meeting, and then our brother John O'Neill on behalf of the Sunday School. So I'll call on Tommy, first of all, if he could come and make that first presentation. Some of the men and some of the brethren are going to work their way around the back of the church and come in through this door. So if you see some climbing up some other way, it's not anything sinister. That's just the way it's going to work. So I'm going to ask Tommy to come first of all, please, and make the presentation.
Well, between Stephen and the fellow on the screen there, hard for an old critter like me to follow something like that. I don't quite know how I should deal with that. Stephen was talking about emotions there, and it has been an emotional day for many. I tend to be a bit like that myself. Doris would have said sometimes years ago that I had a heart like a lump of mahogany. And I used to take exception to that. I found out she loved things made out of mahogany. So that sort of balm on the wound. But this kind of personal involvement and farewells or similar events has never held much of an attraction for me. I don't particularly like to be involved in this sort of thing. I don't cope very well with things like this at all. And I could say that this particular occasion is definitely not an exception to that mindset. I'm not really finding this easy. But in any case, must needs so I'm here because of a wee bit of persuasion by some other members of the committee. And in any case, we all know there are things in life which must be and which will be, whether or not we find them to be personally pleasing or even agreeable. And I know that for many here today, that's that kind of an occasion. Not easy, not agreeable, not pleasing. Not for the wrong reasons, but we can't help how we feel at times like this. And I know that many are saddened by the events which culminate here this evening, and that's understandable to you. Now, I know you're all aware of the history of this particular situation, and you're aware of Mr. Higginson's leading at the Lord's hand so far, and of the acceptance of the situation by all concerned here, although I know that was and still is a very reluctant acceptance. But nevertheless, if there's comfort for us in any of this as a congregation, it's the fact that we know that God's will is being followed here. Mr. Higginson has been obedient to all of God in responding to that call to go to Lisburn. The session, the committee, the congregation here have accepted that. And we know that, as we say, there's blessing in being obedient to the will of God. God's blessing always follows obedience.
So I'm not going to labour this, not going to multiply words, but Mr. Higginson, whether or not you know it, I know you can't see me here. Probably the congregation can hardly see me here either behind this thing. But whether or not you're fully aware of it, your recent daily devotionals on social media drew a wide audience, probably a whole lot wider than you might expect. I know that I have had correspondence from the United States, quite a bit of it, all from people who were blessed by what they were hearing just in those few minutes each day. And that proved to be a great means of reassurance and blessing to many at home here as well. I know that much further afield, because for many it was a time of great uncertainty and even alarm. We were living in dangerous times. We still are living in dangerous times. And many have known that this particular effort in the gospel at your hand has been of great benefit. Many have found that to be the case. Great benefit to many in difficult times. Now, I know that this only refers to a fraction of this man's ministry, and I don't mean to minimise the greater part in any way by just concentrating on that for a moment or two, but it was for many a most significant fraction of Mr. Higginson's ministry. So without further ado, if I could ask Mr. Higginson to join me here, if he can find me, I want to present you with this little token of our appreciation of your labours amongst us here, and in the hope that it will be an aid to memory of the locality where many of those devotionals were presented. And the help of your camera crew here has to be recognised as well. They were a necessary part of that endeavour. So, Mr. Higginson, our thanks to you and to your family. We don't forget your wife and your family as you leave us. And be assured always of our continuing support for you and for your family. In prayer. Thank you.
I really, really appreciate this. I wasn't expecting this at all. I know that our brother Tom has a tremendous gift with painting, but this will take pride of place in our home. I'm just realizing where this is. There's a little bay just in the bottom path, and our dog was getting very confident in the water. He was a bit timid at the start, just went into his belly, and then we were throwing out sticks. But one day he saw two or three ducks swimming out towards the middle of the ban, and he swam out after them. And he just got smaller and smaller and smaller. He's right in the middle of the ban, and the current was starting to take him away. But he got back again, and this will really remind us of a place that we love, and a congregation that we love as well. So thank you so much to Mr. McCool and to the congregation here as well. We love Tommy's paintings, and certainly this will be a very special item in our home. It'll remind me and our family of you all. So thank you so much, brother. Thanks, Stephen.
Okay, thank you, brother Tommy McCool, for making that presentation. I'm going to now ask Sandra Gibson, to please come and make a presentation to Mrs. Higginson.
Well, on behalf of the Ladies Missionary Prayer Meeting, we want to thank you, Elaine, for faithfully leading the meeting month by month and sharing your interest in the lives of the missionaries. We also appreciate it the past year you introducing Sarah to the meeting, and we enjoyed Sarah having you there night by night, and especially your helpfulness in distributing the tea at the end of the meeting. We will miss you both very much, but want to wish you God's very richest blessing as you leave Coleraine to take up a new ministry in the Lisburn congregation. And we just want Elaine you now to come and accept this little gift as a token of appreciation. Thank you.
It's now the turn of our Sunday School Superintendent, Mr. John O'Neill. I'm going to ask John if he would come now and make a presentation to the Higginson children, please.
Witnessing it. So, but it's good to be here tonight on behalf of our Sunday school on this sad farewell service. What more can be said than already has been said throughout this day? A family dearly beloved here in Corian. Your friendship, your faithfulness, your guidance, compassion and love for us as a congregation. Thank you so much. On behalf of our Sunday school staff, I want to take this opportunity to wish our pastor, the Reverend Higginson, his wife Elaine, God's richest blessing in the days, months and years ahead. But it's the Higginson Wains I want to talk about for a while tonight and turn our attention to. Sarah, Luke, and Joshua, my friends, we have watched you from babies. So we have grown into childhood and around 4 years of age coming to our Sunday school. Sarah, now soon to be 12 years of age, so she is, and from about 8, 7 or 8 maybe, Sarah would have measured herself against me and said, "John, I'm catching up with you." I'll tell you, that wasn't a hard thing to do, Sarah, sure it wasn't. Now, she's passed me, so she has, and she was born in Lisburn, but Sarah knows nothing about that. She's only a wee baby. She couldn't remember that. She's a Corian woman, so she is, and a Corian girl. Luke and Joshua, no doubt, where you were born. You were born in Corian and from Corian. These are Corian boys through and through. Caesar. Children, this evening, this sad occasion, we're going to miss you a lot. I want on behalf of our teachers to thank you for your faithfulness Sunday by Sunday, attending our Sunday school, hardly missing a day all these years. Anything you were asked to do at social, Children's Day, or at the carol service, you were more than willing to do it for me. And Sarah and Luke, who completed the child's catechism, which was a great feat, so it was without a mistake. Well done. Joshua, your turn next. So it is. Wayans, as teachers, we are going to miss you. And for me personally, when I think back, Luke and Sarah Young, after the morning service and after the evening service, we would have went for a dander out round the church. You remember that? We found a wasp's nest, didn't we? And knowing Luke who he was, he had to find out if there were any wasps in it. So that made his move. So it did, maybe quicker than we wanted to. But those were great memories. Great memories. One bad memory I have. Sarah closed her finger in the door of my car. And that was a sad memory, Sarah. But she still had 4 fingers in both hands, I hope. But this is another chapter in your young lives, which has begun. New church, new Sunday school, new day school. As we have prayed for you the past 12 years, I can assure you we will continue to remember you and hold you up before the throne of grace day by day. Sarah, as you travel to Belfast in the train, we'll be thinking on you, praying for your protection and for your safety. Luke and Joshua at primary school, may you know God's leading, God's protection, God's guidance in your young lives, leading you in days in the future to greater things for himself. But remember, as I said earlier, these are Korean people. Don't forget about us down here. We won't forget about you. And if you're in this area, call and see us. No greater place in the north of Ireland than the north coast. I remember telling your dad that before he came here. So don't forget about us here. But I'll leave you with these words of the wise man Solomon, Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. God bless you as a family. We'll miss you. But we pray that God will watch over you, keep you safe, and help you to settle in your new surroundings. You come and get a presentation from us. I don't know in Lisburn what the situation is in Swedish shops and things they got there. But if you can try for a week or two, and if nothing's forthcoming, you give me a phone. I'll speak to somebody in Lisburn and see if they can find a shop somewhere. Young Joshua, God bless you. And Sarah and Luke, might be something else here. Wait a minute. Just in case. Never sure. In case there are no shops in Lisburn. Here, hope that I keep you going for a day or two, anyway. Okay, God bless you.
Presenting to the children there. At this stage, we're going to ask Sheila McIntyre to come and make a presentation on the fellowship meeting that takes place on a Thursday. Sheila, thank you.
Well, this is the first time I had done this. On behalf of the fellowship group, we would like you to present you with this, Reverend Hickerson, with a token of our appreciation for the time you gave to share great fellowship with us. We thoroughly enjoyed watching your DVDs and your quizzes. It kept our minds young, which we all needed. We wish you and your family God's blessing as you begin this new journey in Lisburn. I leave with you Charles Harden Spurgeon's Checkbook of Faith, reading for today, the 6th of September, Psalm 27, verse 14. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. That's me, yes, fellowship.
God bless you. Thank you.
And one other thing I must say, I would like to thank him personally from our family for what he has done for us. He's up with Christina and Stephen in the Royal, prayed with them and brought them through the 17 weeks that Chloe and Taylor was fighting for their life. And Christina says his prayers was brought them through. Okay, thank you.
I'd just like to thank Sheila for making that presentation. At this stage, I'm going to call upon Mr. Andrew Gibson, who's our youth leader, if he would come please now and make a presentation on behalf of the Youth Fellowship. Andrew, thank you.
Tonight, I am making a presentation to Sarah and Roger on behalf of the Youth Fellowship. Sarah, also under the alias of Sadie, joined our Youth Fellowship shortly after sitting the transfer test. It didn't take long for Sarah to fit in and participate with the quiz and the sword drill. Unfortunately, Sarah only got to attend the youth in the youth room for a very short period of time, but it was encouraging to see her faithful attendance through Zoom during the lockdown. And Sarah was always willing to stay on for a chat afterwards. We're all very sad that we haven't had the opportunity to watch you grow up in the youth and have the two boys join too. But when you watch your father at camp, maybe it's a blessing in disguise. I'll say more about that later. Sarah, we hope that you are looking forward to starting youth in Lisburn. And we can assure you that we'll be praying that you'll settle in quickly and make lots of new friends. I have no doubt that we'll see you again at youth events, and I'm so happy to hear that the Lord has guided you into your new school. We heard even as our minister was reciting about how the Lord called him to Lisburn, but what even touched me was he didn't just lead and guide Roger and Elaine, but he also guided you and even fitted yous into the schools, and you can take encouragement that the Lord is leading and guiding yous. And if I was going to leave with just a wee bit of advice, I would just like to say to continue to trust in the Lord, because I can assure you that he will never fail you. Colossians 1, verse 23, it says, continue in the faith, ground it and settled. So on behalf of the fellowship, I have a wee presentation for Sarah, and I'd like to present it now. Thank you. Now on to Roger. Although you have been the minister in Corrine for almost 12 years, you have been involved in the youth camps for a wee bit longer than that. When you began your ministry in 2008, I was a 19-year-old nightmare. Over the years, you have been a real role model to me. And as already been mentioned this morning, how you have been a godly example to each of us, including the members of the Youth Fellowship. We have always enjoyed having you at our meetings and also youth trips. I remember one night, in particular in Kilray, when we were doing the high ropes course, and I remember the instructor asking my dad if the minister was here, and my dad pointed to Roger, who was swinging for all he was worth at the top of the platform. Roger, we want to thank you for all the support that you have given to the Youth Fellowship. You've always been willing to speak, give guidance when needed, and participate in the question and answer nights. We have also enjoyed when you've called up for a chat after the men's prayer meeting. So Roger, on behalf of the Youth Fellowship, I want to thank you for your interest, love, support, friendship, and prayers. Just want to read Jeremiah 3 and to verse 15. And even as I was thinking on that verse, even how it links into what the Reverend Irwin even touched on there, and it says, and I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. And I think we can say with all honesty, that's been the case with Roger. And we're blessed to be given a pastor who is according to the Lord's heart, and he has definitely been faithful in feeding us with knowledge and understanding. So, Roger, and just now, as of midnight tonight, we don't accept any liability with what happens to us here. So, all the young people have signed us, and I trust that we'll maybe see more photos of these all days. There you are. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you now.
Tonight, because it break the Sabbath day and probably my neck as well. But Andrew and the young people have been a real encouragement to us over the years. We thank God for them, and we know that God has great things in store for them. It's lovely to see young men and young women growing up through our church who know and love the Saviour, and there's no doubt about that. And some of them now have children of their own, and that's just a wonderful blessing. So thank you so much to the youth. Okay, Stephen.
I'm still not finished. thank you very much, Andrew, for making the presentation. I understand Elaine and the children, some of them are going to speak to you. So, Elaine, do you want to come first, maybe? And then Luke's going to do it. Go on ahead, Luke. That's fine. Yep. Yep.
Well, I've got a letter to read out to yous all, and I'll miss yous all. Dear congregation of Corian Free Presbyterian Church, I will be sad to leave, and I have enjoyed my time with you. I will pray you will get a new minister soon. I will miss you all dearly, and I have many happy memories. I will always remember when I was little, I had walks around the church with John O'Neill, and when I put my hand in his pockets and look for sweets, and then give the wrappers to Matthew Cosley, or as I know him, the bin man. I will always remember you. Love, Luke. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. And then I've got Sarah's to read out as well. Growing up in Corian Free Presbyterian Church has given me lots of happy memories. Those memories won't be forgotten. Thank you for your love and kindness throughout the years. I will miss you all very much and trust that you will get a new minister soon. These 12 years have been memorable, happy and happy. This won't be goodbye, but I'll see you later. From Sarah.
And I've got one from Joshua. I know it is sad we are moving, but I will miss you very much. I will have many memories, such as getting sweets from John. I will miss the children's meeting and Sunday school. From Joshua. So Luke wasn't the shy one. The other two were. I just want to say a few things. It took Roger 12 years to allow me in the pulpit to say anything. And in the 12th hour, he's eventually let me in here because he's got nothing to lose. So I didn't really expect to say too much, but when I brought out this sheet of paper today, Roger says, so you have got something to say. But I just think in this occasion it would be wrong if I didn't say thank you, and particularly to you. I just want to put on record a sincere thank you to the congregation here in Corian. Nearly 12 years ago we came to this part of the Lord's vineyard, and we settled very quickly into this church, and it was our home, and also into the community. I want to publicly say thank you to everyone who prayed and supported and encouraged me and helped me and the children during Roger's ministry here among you. We've laughed together in good times, and yes, we've cried together in the hard times. But God has blessed us indeed, and we have so many fond memories of our time in Corian, and it's been a long and happy chapter in our lives. We step out in faith, knowing it's the Lord's will for us as a family, and we will continue to pray for you, that the Lord will be pleased to unite you all and to give you a faithful pastor who will continue the work here and to carry the baton forward. I ask you to continue to remember us in prayer as we make this change in our lives and settle into a new area and a new community and also to a new church. It's not an easy task for any individual, never mind a family of five and a dog, but we thank you so far for all your prayers and how we are settling so well. Thank you from the bottom of my heart for all your kindness to us as a family. And I don't want to single anybody out, but for all those that have done things publicly and privately over the years, we want to say thank you. We have been truly blessed. And I just want to just leave a little verse in Philippians 1, verse 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of thee. Thank you.
Thank you to Elaine and also to Luke for speaking to us tonight. And thank you to all those who made presentations this evening. I'm going just to finish up now just by bringing announcements for the incoming week. And just at the outset, can we as a church express our sympathy to Mr. Albert McIntyre, Norman McIntyre, and Mrs. Margaret Anderson on the passing of their sister Jennifer Duffy, who passed away and was buried towards the end of the week there on Thursday. And our prayers and sympathies are with that family. We want to welcome each and every one along tonight, and to those who are joining on Facebook and Sermon Audio. We welcome again the Reverend Derek Irwin, and we thank him for taking part today and for leading the meeting. And also to our own pastor for the final time to have him here in the pulpit with us. And we trust that God will bless him as he brings his final sermon to us this evening in the gospel. Tuesday night at 8 p.m. is the prayer meeting, and that takes place now within the sanctuary of the church. So you're welcome to come along. There's no need to register for that meeting. So that meeting at 8 o'clock, and the Reverend Irwin will be along to bring the Word of God, and that will be broadcast again live on our webcasts. Just a note to the committee, there will be a committee meeting after the prayer meeting, and also if the session could also stay after that meeting for a brief session meeting, that would be appreciated. Friday night at 8 p.m., the Youth Fellowship will be meeting here in the church. There is an online youth rally taking place, and they will be watching that in the church here. So Friday night, 8 p.m., the young people meeting together in the church. Next Lord's Day, Sunday the 13th of September, the preacher will be the Reverend Derek Irwin at the services at 11:30 and 6:30 p.m. And as we mentioned this morning, the Sunday school has not commenced as such, but we do encourage parents to log into FPC Kids at 10 a.m. on a Sunday morning. That's on Facebook, and you'll find the link on our own Facebook page for the church. Then finally, just to say that the Reverend Higginson's installation service, when he's installed as minister of Lisburn Free Presbyterian Church, will take place on Friday the 18th of September at 8 p.m., and that will take place in the Martyrs Memorial Church. So thank you for your attention tonight, and at this stage, I just want to hand back to the Reverend Irwin to lead us through the rest of the meeting. Thank you.
A word of thanks to all who have taken part tonight, and I trust that the Lord will be pleased to bless them as they have made these comments and made these presentations. We're going to sing just one verse of 227, just the first verse in the chorus, and then I'll just have a short word of prayer to allow you to stand to change your position before God's servant comes to bring his final message. So we're just singing one verse, time's moving on. One verse in the chorus, and then we'll stand just for a short prayer, and then we'll hand the rest of the service over to Mr. Higginson to bring his final message of his ministry here. So we'll sing this hymn, verse 1, together. Let's all stand for a short word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee for a sense of thy presence. We know that it has been difficult in the making of these different presentations, and for the many memories that the congregation has been reminded of tonight, and we have smiled and we have laughed and rejoiced. There's been humorous moments and yet at the same time very solemn moments. And as we come now to this crucial part, we pray for the hush of heaven. We pray that there might not be any distraction at all as God's servant comes to preach the word, the most important part of the service, and his final message. We pray that thou wilt help him with help from heaven, and grant that it might even please thee to give him the anointing of God. And tonight, may he become a fisher of men. May, dear God, may there be fish caught in the gospel net as he preaches. Bless him now, undertake for him, and enrich our hearts as we give attention to the ministry of God's truth for tonight. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Can you turn with me, please, to the Gospel of Matthew and the 27th chapter. Matthew's Gospel and the chapter 27. Can I again thank everyone who has taken part this evening? So much of what has gone on tonight has been a surprise to us. We didn't expect any of this. It's been an emotional day. It's been an emotional number of months. And I want to thank all who have taken part so much for their kindness, their kind thoughts, and their generosity to us as a family. And also want to thank you all for everything, once again, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, for your friendship. It's just quite an amazing thing whenever they were talking about the children. And I remember Sarah was born on the 12th of October, 2008. Isn't that right, Sarah? The 12th? 13th? 13th of October. And it was the 14th of October, the next night, I think it was, that we got the call to Coleraine. Elaine and Sarah were still in the hospital. I remember coming to visit and then going out for a walk, and the phone went when I came home, and I'd been told we'd been called to Coleraine. And it's just been a wonderful, wonderful time in our lives. That was a whole new chapter beginning. We were parents for the first time, pastor, just coming out of college, coming to a new area, a new town, and I said a few weeks ago that these 12 years have been the happiest years of our lives. Wonderful people here in Coleraine. Thanks to the session, to Albert McIntyre and to Steve McLean, the two clerks, men that have been a privilege to work with, and all of the other elders as well. We thank God for you, for the committee, for the people who attend the prayer meetings, to the young people, to the senior citizens, really surprised with the presentation tonight, Sheila. And we love you both in the Lord. We're delighted for what God has done for Chloe and Taylor. It's lovely to see them at Sunday school socials, whenever that is, I'm not sure. And also the carol services and Children's Day. To see those two little girls growing up and doing so well and thriving, we're thankful to the Lord for that. Many of you have said kind words to us over the last few days and few weeks, and this morning and again this evening, and I thank you for the cards and for the tokens of love and friendship that you have given to us. We will be praying much for you in the days that lie ahead, and I know that, as Mr. Irwin has said, that God has a man appointed for this pulpit, and I believe that the work will go forward. I believe that you'll be richly blessed under the ministry of that servant, whoever he is, and I believe that God will use him, and I pray that God will use him in a wonderful way, more than he ever used ourselves. I've just felt so privileged to be able to be part of this great fellowship. Thank you as well to our brother, Mr. Irwin. I've got to know him over the years since he came back from Florida, and I know that he took a keen interest in the work here for many years. And the session were absolutely united and unanimous that they wanted to ask God's servant to be willing to look after the work here in Coleraine. And he was very, very accommodating. And I know that you're in good hands. And I know that God's servant will be a blessing to you as he brings the word of God every time he opens the scriptures. Isaiah 58 verse 11 is a wonderful verse, just to share it with you again. The Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be as a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters fail not. God has proved that verse in my life, and I pray that he'll do the same for you as a congregation. I want as well to thank Elaine and Sarah and Luke and Joshua for their love and for their support over these years. But most of all, I thank my God and my Savior for saving me and for calling me to preach the cross and to tell people about a Savior. And if you don't know him tonight, it's our prayer that before this meeting is over, before this day is over, before this ministry is over, that you will come to know the Savior. So let's just look to the scriptures, Matthew 27 and verse 19. It's speaking about Pilate, and it's a very familiar verse that I want to leave with you. Matthew 27 and verse 19. I'm conscious that time has all but gone, but please bear with me one last time. Matthew 27:19, speaking of Pilate, when he was set down in the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate saith unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, Let him be crucified. And the governor said, Why? What evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, Let him be crucified. God will bless the reading of his precious word, his inspired and infallible word. Matthew 27 marks the end of an era. The greatest preaching ministry that the world has ever known has come to an end. It's reached a dramatic climax after 3 short years. The Son of God himself, who went about doing good and preaching the gospel and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, a man whom the common people had heard gladly, now stands as a man condemned, scorned, and rejected by his own people, falsely accused by the self-righteous religious hypocrites of the day. And we read in verse 2 of this momentous chapter in the Word of God, When they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. We often talk about Christ being before Pilate, but the reality is Pilate was before Christ. Pilate has reached the hour of decision in his life. And now he must decide, and he knows that full well, I must decide what I am going to do with Jesus Christ. He was maybe ignorant of the reality that his soul all the while was hanging in the balance. He had reached the hour of decision. And he asked this all-important question in verse 22. You know it well. What then shall I do with Jesus, which is called the Christ? And that's a question every single one of us must answer. It's a question that you must answer tonight in this very meeting. This is your hour of decision. Now, there are many important questions in the Word of God we must all consider and come to a conclusion and give an answer to. James 4:14, what is your life? Matthew 16:15, Whom say ye that I, the Son of Man, am?
Matthew 22:42, what think ye of Christ? Matthew 27:22, what will I do with Christ? Matthew 16:26, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Or Luke 22:40, dost not thou fear God? Now these are questions that over the last 12 years from this pulpit and this locality and in other places, under God, I've been calling people to consider. And tonight this feeble ministry draws to a close. But some of you are still outside of Christ without a Savior. And you're trying, in a sense, maybe to be neutral. You're not against the things of God as you see it. You're not against the gospel. You're not against church. You're not against the Bible. You're not against Christ. That's how you see it. But you're not for Him. And you're trying maybe to ride two horses and live in two kingdoms. Well, I believe that this is your hour of decision. Now, the word decision is a word that we often shy away from in evangelical circles. But I am not afraid tonight of the word decision. Joshua said, choose you this day whom you will serve. Moses asked, who is on the Lord's side? David said, who then is willing this day to consecrate his service unto the Lord? The prophet Elijah said, how long halt ye between two opinions? Jesus Christ our Lord said, whom do men say that I am? John 6:67, he said to some, will ye also go away? And then Moses, as he ended his earthly ministry, said in Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 19, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you both life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed mayest live. Now I want to ask you tonight, what are you going to do with Jesus Christ? What are you going to do in this hour of decision, this momentous crossroads in your life? As I take my leave and we go our separate ways, some of you still haven't decided for Christ. And I'm asking you tonight one final time, what are you going to do? The hour of decision. Just a few simple thoughts to leave with you as we consider Pilate and his hour of decision. The first thing is the immense gravity of the decision. There is no decision more important in life than what you do with the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is no more grave decision in life than what you do with the Son of God, who Paul says loved us and gave himself for us. It's the most important decision you will ever make. It affects everything from this moment on in. No other decision even comes close, not even getting married comes close to choosing or deciding for Jesus Christ. Now, as we look at Pilate here, we see some of the influences concerned. Verse number 20 says, the chief priests and elders persuaded that they should ask, or persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. And so here's Pilate. He's sitting in his judgment seat. There are Roman soldiers all around him. There are Jewish leaders before him, and there's a very large multitude, and the multitude and the Roman soldiers and the religious leaders and the chief priests were all bringing an influence into the life of Pilate, and he was persuaded by the multitude to reject the Lord Jesus Christ and send him to a cross. And maybe tonight you're allowing the multitude and the world all around you to influence you to stay away from the cross and stay away from Christ and stay away from the Word of God. But then we read in verse 19 about Pilate's wife. She sent him a little message, a little gospel tract, if you liked, as Pilate sat in his judgment seat, and maybe while other proceedings were going on, he opened that piece of paper and he read this message from his wife. Have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. And what she was saying there, Pilate, do not condemn him. Pilate, be very careful about what you do. He's a just man. God has given me a vision. Historians tell us that Pilate's wife herself was a believer. She was a Christian. And it may be that there are Christians in your family Maybe a husband or a wife or a father or a mother or a son or a daughter or a brother or a sister influences for good, and they're exhorting you to do the right thing whenever it comes to choosing Jesus Christ. The influence is concerned. But as we think as well about the immense gravity of this decision, we need to think for a moment or two about the infinite consequences. What Pilate does in this hour of decision is going to affect everything in time and also in eternity. If Pilate rejects the Son of God, he's going to continue with all of his wealth and all of his knowledge and all of his fame and all of his prosperity in a life without guidance, a life without hope, a life without purpose, a life without God. And then in eternity, he's going to be lost forever in hell through rejecting Jesus Christ. You know, my great fear is I leave this place, maybe in the next half hour, and the doors are closed and the lights are put out, and we take our leave and we go up the road. My great fear is that there are some here tonight, some listening in, some watching online, and you know well the ministry of this great church, but you're not saved, and you haven't positively taken up the cross and bowed the knee and repented of your sin and put your faith in the Son of God. The immense gravity of the decision. Something else, the illustrious opportunity of the decision. Here's Pilate sitting in a judgment seat, and a man is brought before him. Jesus of Nazareth, the carpenter. This man who stepped onto the stage of world history. So obscure as the world is concerned, and yet he went about doing good. Casting out devils, giving sight to the blind, even raising the dead, bringing forgiveness and joy and peace and salvation and life and purpose and meaning to the lives of multitudes of precious souls. And now he's standing before Pilate. Think of it, the eternal, immortal Son of God, the Creator of all things, the Judge of all the earth, veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, Hail the incarnate deity, pleased as man with men to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. And Pilate has got the opportunity of a lifetime to give his heart and life to the Savior. And he knows that he has to do something. This is the one who said, I did not come into the world to destroy men's lives, but to save them. I didn't come into the world to condemn, but I came to set people free. I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. What an opportunity to receive life and meaning and purpose and salvation and forgiveness. And one day by God's grace, a home in heaven. Here's a man who has a plan and a purpose that is good and acceptable and perfect. And you know, I look back at my life and I think of how God set his love upon a young teenager all of those years ago. Somebody who counted for very little and was good for nothing and good at nothing, just a sinner in need of mercy. And this great God came and set his eternal love upon me, and he alone is worthy. And what an opportunity, an illustrious opportunity, is given to Pilate. D.L. Moody said, give your life to God. He can do more with it than you ever could. Charles Wesley, having come to Christ, wrote that wonderful hymn, Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise. He's saying, if I had a thousand lives to live, I would give every single one of them to Jesus Christ. I could say the same. If I had my life to live over again up until this point, I would give him so much more because he's worthy. And tonight is afforded to you in the hour of decision an illustrious opportunity to take into your heart and life and home and family a great Savior and a great God who will change and transform your life and your home completely. The immense gravity of the decision, the illustrious opportunity of the decision, but what about the imposing responsibility of the decision? Pilate recognized nobody else can make this decision for me. They might influence me, they might try to persuade me, but this is my decision. This is my responsibility. And nobody really can make this decision for me. You know, the word responsibility is a word that in our modern culture we shy away from. We try to get off the hook by pleading diminished responsibility, by pleading ignorance and all sorts of things. But the Word of God clearly states that man is a responsible being. God has put us on this earth, and all men naturally, whether Christian or not, have a responsibility to Almighty God. Maybe tonight you view God as being an optional extra in your life. Well, so many people say, well, I don't really have an interest in those things. I'm not really a religious person. I'm not really a Bible person. I don't really think about God. But fair play to those who do. I have nothing against them. But as for me, it's not something I'm really interested in. But friends, God is our Creator. God made you for Himself to serve Him here. And God made you in His image. And God caused the rain to fall upon the just and the unjust every day. And God has blessed you times without number. And I want you to understand tonight that you have a responsibility to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. And then we are also responsible with what we do with the gospel. I wonder tonight, what have you done with the knowledge that God has given you? What have you done with the gospel? What have you done with that which in your heart you know to be true? What have you really done tonight with the cross? I never get over those words whenever Paul said, the Son of God loved me and gave Himself for me. Or whenever he said, Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Or even the words of that little children's hymn, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Sometimes I just take a little phrase of Scripture like that, or a verse of a hymn like that, and I just turn it over and over in my mind, and I never lose the wonder of it all. The Son of God. Isn't that a great mystery? Isn't that a wonder? The Son of God. But the Son of God loved me. And that's a greater wonder still. And then, wonder of wonders, the Son of God loved me and gave. And He gives and He gives and He goes on giving. But the greatest wonder of all is not just that there's a Son of God, and not just that the Son of God loved me, and not just that the Son of God loved me and gave, but the Son of God loved me and gave Himself for me. I was speaking to a dear man just last Lord's Day that I've got to know, and we were talking about the things of God, and I challenged him about where he was spiritually. I said, are you a Christian? And he paused a little bit, a lovely man. And he talked about the things of God. And I've said this to so many other people, you know, if I really believe in my heart that Christ died for my sins upon a cross, I can never be the same again. If I really, earnestly believe that, when I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss and pour contempt on all my pride. Does it not move your heart tonight, friend, to think that God sent His Son to be the Savior of the world? And bearing shame and scoffing rude in our place, condemned He stood, sealed my pardon with His blood. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Does that not move you tonight? Does that not make you say, I want Him to be my Savior. I want Him to be my friend. The imposing responsibility of the decision. Pilate was responsible in his hour of decision. You're responsible tonight in your hour of decision. And then there's the individual accountability of the decision. Look where Pilate is. It says in verse number 19, when he was set down on the judgment seat. Isn't that a remarkable thing? Here's a mortal man born to Adam's sinful line, and he is sitting on his judgment seat, and he's about to pass judgment upon the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the eternal I Am, the very Son of God, the Creator of the rolling spheres, is sitting before him, and Pilate thinks, I have got the authority to pass judgment upon this man, to either condemn him or to let him go free. What an awesome, awesome responsibility as we think about Pilate's individual accountability. But you know, someday the roles are going to be reversed. The Bible says we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And every single one of us shall give an account of himself before God. And I and you, we have got one life each to live. And someday, whenever time is no more, and we stand in the great eternity before the judgment throne of God, we will all give an account. And the fundamental thing we will give an account for is what we have done with and what we have done for Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, Pilate was individually accountable. He's not going to give account for anybody else. But he's going to give an account for what he did here in Matthew 27 in his hour of decision. And I fear that some of you will stand someday in the judgment and you will give an account for this, your hour of decision. And you will give an account for this meeting on the 6th of September 2020. And you'll give an account for every opportunity that God has given you. And you'll be individually accountable. Friends, tonight, that makes me tremble. That someday I'm going to stand before my Savior and give an account. It makes me tremble, even though all my sins are under the blood. But what about you who are not converted? What will you say in that last day? Whenever the books are opened and you're called to give an account. You'll not give an account for the hypocrites. You'll not give an account for the other guy. You'll give an account for your life and for your sin and for what you did with and what you did for Jesus Christ. Thomas Adams, the old Puritan, said, "One bird cannot fly to heaven with another bird's wings." You need Christ in your life. You need God in your life. You need salvation in your heart and in your experience. You need to be born again. And God tonight gives you another opportunity. The last thing I want you to consider is we've thought just a little while tonight about the immense gravity of the decision and the illustrious opportunity of the decision and the imposing responsibility of the decision and the individual accountability of the decision. There's also the imperative urgency of the decision. As far as I can see in my reading of Scripture, this is the last time that Pilate will ever see Jesus Christ face to face. This is the last time that Pilate will ever hear the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ to his heart and to his soul. And it seems to me tonight that Pilate would never have another opportunity like the one given to him in this particular hour of decision. Friends, tonight there is such a thing as having your last opportunity. And there's also such a thing as having a lost opportunity. Coming to Christ and giving your heart and life to him and trusting him as your Savior and believing on him and getting right with God is the most vital and imperative and urgent choice you will ever make. And for some of you now, for 12 years, you've sat in meetings just like this. You've come in and you've come out, and you've been very kind, and you've been very respectful, and you've given me time, and sometimes I've gone on far too long. I know that. But tonight, perhaps you're carefree, indifferent, and careless. And you see no urgency at all about how important this decision is that you're going to make. To either say, yes, I'll trust Christ as my Savior, or I'll reject him and I'll go with the crowd and go with the world. And we're living in the closing days of time. Whenever the Bible speaks about salvation, it's always in the present tense. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. It is time to seek the Lord. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. This is something you need to be urgent about today. Four times the Bible says, today if you will hear his voice, then harden not your hearts. David says, there's just a step between me and death. James said, the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. And Genesis 6:3 says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. This is your hour of decision. It doesn't get any more real than this. And I can't bear the thought, my dear people, of leaving this pulpit, knowing in my heart that I have failed to reach you and failed to win you and failed to get you to the cross. Especially knowing it's possible that I might never see some of you again, can I appeal to you just now? As you ask this question, what shall I do with Jesus, which is called the Christ? I appeal to you tonight, trust him. Believe on him. Understand that he died on the cross for you, shed his blood for you, and he'll save you to the uttermost if you come to him tonight. What an opportunity. What solemnity. What gravity. What responsibility. What accountability. What urgency. I encourage you, I plead with you, I pray that you'll come to know Jesus Christ this very hour. The old hymn writer said, Jesus is standing in Pilate's hall. And here he is tonight, even in our midst. What will you do? If you need help tonight to come to Christ, I'll give you the time. I'd love to point you to the Lord. In this last night of these 12 years, I would love to point you to the Savior. I'd love to know that you're really converted. I'd love to know that you're going to heaven someday and you're bringing your wee family with you. I'd love to know that it's well with your soul. Why not just now say, Jesus, take me as I am. I can come no other way. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Let's unite our hearts together in prayer. And let me say one last time, if I can help you to the cross tonight, speak to me. Or maybe later on down the line, maybe tomorrow, or later on in the week, or at some other time, you find yourself feeling lost and in need of a Savior. You think, I know someone can help me. Lift the phone, contact me. But don't put it off. You come to the Lord tonight and make this the hour of your decision and decide for Christ. Father, we thank thee, O God, for the word of God and for the promises of God. And we thank thee tonight, O God, for the gospel. We thank thee for a living Savior, a risen Savior, who is able and willing to save anybody who comes in simple, childlike faith and trust, confessing from and turning from their sins and putting their faith in the Son of God. O Lord, help people, O God, tonight as they contemplate this question, what shall I do with Jesus, which is called the Christ? May they, O God, trust him, receive him, respond to his call and give him their hearts and give him their lives and be wonderfully, wonderfully converted. Thank you, Lord, for these dear people that we love so much. And we pray that you will bless them abundantly and send a great awakening, O God, to this church and to this community and, O God, to this land. And now may the blessing of God the Father and the love and salvation of God the Son and the fellowship and comfort and presence of the Holy Spirit rest and remain and abide with us now and forevermore until Christ comes or Christ calls. For it's in his name and for his glory we pray.